WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In Los Angeles, a fifth day of demonstrations in small portions of that city near a federal building. CBS's Elise Preston reports.
Officers have moved in to arrest the protesters who have gathered outside this federal detention facility in downtown Los Angeles. The day had mostly been peaceful, but many protesters failed to disperse after officers issued the order, prompting more National Guardsmen, Homeland Security Police, and LAPD to swarm the area.
During a visit to Fort Bragg to celebrate the Army's 250th birthday, President Trump has told soldiers,
"What you're witnessing in California is a full-blown assault on peace, on public order, and on national sovereignty carried out by rioters bearing foreign flags with the aim of continuing a foreign invasion of our country. We're not going to let that happen."
There's also an immigration raid protest in New York City. CBS's Matt Piper also reports.
U.S. Rep. LaMonica McGivern has been indicted on federal charges alleging she impeded and interfered with immigration officers outside a New Jersey immigration detention center. The incident happened last month as Newark's mayor was arrested after trying to join McGivern and two other Democratic reps who said they went to conduct congressional oversight. On social media, McGivern writes that she will plead not guilty and says the facts will show she was simply doing her job.
President Trump says he is restoring the names of several U.S. military bases. CBS's Linda Kenyon has that.
Speaking at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the president said he was proud that he earlier restored the name of that military base, which was renamed Fort Liberty 2 years ago. Ahead of the celebration of the Army's 250th anniversary, Trump announced he's also restoring some other names.
Fort Hood, Fort Gordon, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort A.P. Hill, and Fort Robert E. Lee.
There is a federal law that prohibits honoring generals who fought for the South during the Civil War. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
A third person has been arrested in connection with the smuggling of a potentially dangerous biological material that was brought into the U.S. CBS's Scott McFarland tells us the FBI in a court filing described the latest arrest involves alleged smuggling of material related to certain worms that requires a government permit.
Chengjing Wan is going to be in court in Detroit tomorrow for a detention hearing. The prosecutors will make some argument as to why Han should be held pending trial. There's another defendant also facing her time in court, and a third defendant, a man who is believed to be in China, who's not in U.S. custody, all of them facing smuggling charges from the U.S. Department of Justice.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Brewers try to rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field, where the Brewers host the Braves in Game 2 of their series. Quinn Priester on the mound for Milwaukee against the Braves' right-hander Grant Holmes. The Brewers losing last night 7-1. The team making some roster moves today, sending reliever Grant Anderson down to Nashville and recalling right-hand pitcher Easton McGee. NFL Packers minicamp underway. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst why couldn't they hang on to defensive back Jaire Alexander when they still have $46 million left under the salary cap.
I think, you know, over the last 4 years, you know, there's been a lot of games missed. I mean, I just think for what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get out on the field. Like, it's not his fault, just something that kind of transpired. We're looking for something different.
Today, the Packers moved Bo Melton from wide receiver to defensive back.
Again, his play on special teams, it's just you don't have too many wideouts in this league that are as effective as he is on teams.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor and star of Dark Waters, Mark Ruffalo, has agreed to join the cast of Being Human and is the last name of the film's hero, Judy Human, a disability rights activist from the 1970s. The film will be directed by co-director Sean Hader. Ruffalo's part is undisclosed, but is said to be a key role, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Ruffalo is a four-time Oscar nominee and native Wisconsinite. Can you imagine living in a house that was featured in a famous TV show? Joanne Quintana doesn't have to imagine it because it's real. She lives in the house that was used in Breaking Breaking Bad as Walter White's family home. Apparently, she is getting a little tired of people standing outside and staring, so much so that she recently turned a hose on them, and she'll do it again. A video was shared on Instagram by an influencer named Santi, who captured her hosing down gawkers, according to the New York Post. Quintana says she gets so tired of the onlookers, she's listed the home and is asking for $4 million, probably because her water bills are so high. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and milder tonight with a low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds, chance of showers in the afternoon and evening. High upper 70s to 80. Shower chances continue on Thursday. With more clouds, cooler highs, mid-70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome our pal and Key & Peele writer Rich Tallarico and Up North News editor Christina Lori, and I talk fun Wisconsin stories. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut a dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaji and Choka. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. And now shop now at causecart.shop and search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pinagigi.
Right on. Hey, we have a jam-packed show here, and we have our friend Ruth and Ruthlo, who's CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And Ruth, welcome as always. And it looks like you have a few people here that we'd love to hear from. Take it away.
Yes. Hi, Dosha and Madzigadads. Thanks for having us on again. I have two special guests with me today. I have Angela Barnes and potentially, and yes, also Cheyenne Hinsley with the Nujimo and Drop-In Center. So I will turn it over to Angela and Cheyenne.
Right on. Hey, Angela, tell us a little bit about what you do there at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And welcome, by the way. Oh, what?
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it. My name is Angela Barnes, and I'm the director of the Nujimo Department and Programming, which is our gender-based violence programming. We help Native women who are experiencing sexual assault, sexual exploitation, and domestic violence or intimate partner violence. And then I'm also just stepped into a bit of a new role here, directing the Wewoke Drop-In Center, where we help unsheltered Native women who are experiencing mental health, chemical dependency, unsheltered, and in need of basic needs. So,
when it comes to chemical dependency, do you help your clients and your friends and relatives with like Rule 25 and things like that?
We do not do the Rule 25s. However, we have a partnership with Red Lake, and we are able to refer for mental health and substance use resources.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Wow. I'm really excited, Ruth, Anna, and you have part of your team here. What other points would you like to bring up with Angela?
Gosh, they do such amazing work, really, you know, behind the scenes, a lot of work. And, you know, Minnesota is one of the states or present day states that have such a high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. So a lot of what is done underneath the MIWRC umbrella really prevents a lot of further tragedies from happening. You know, we are in a critical juncture where we are looking for more ways to keep the doors open, to ensure that the doors are open. And now more than ever, you know, I think back to like the work previously done in another life, I guess you could say, with human trafficking and trying to address that. And during the pandemic, I was a tribal navigator for North Dakota's human trafficking task force. And it was really eye-opening to see that during the pandemic, during the shutdown, that human trafficking didn't let up. Like it was, you know, if not, of course, steadily going, but it almost had a slight increase, you know, according to what data was reported. And so it's still a very high needs, high intense area where we need to come together, work together, even share resources, cost share to find ways to keep our women, trans relatives safe. Because unfortunately, you know, the data and what studies and the patterns out there show that our Native women are targeted, you know, and a lot of women and trans relatives do come here to the cities, potentially thinking there is more resources here, or also to help, you know, feed the addiction. Or a lot of women and trans relatives are held captive in trafficking through addiction, you know, so everything is really connected. And I'm so proud of the staff here. We use a very comprehensive approach, public health through a public health lens, you know, in all the ways of course, centering who we are as Indigenous peoples, to prevention, to keeping families together, to really providing a brave and nurturing, loving space for our relatives to get connected to resources. Like Angela mentioned, whether it's connecting people, individuals, families in the community to treatment, to housing resources, you know, we're just trying to do our part and fulfill our responsibility as good relatives. So.
Well, I believe what for me is really interesting, Angela, I want to ask you a quick question. How do you take care of yourself? Because these kind of things can be draining on your soul with all this work that you have to do. Talk a little bit about that, how you take care of yourself. And I know I want to ask you too, Ruth Anna, because you are right in the boots on the ground too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the really important things is that we have a good team. We have Ruth is an amazing support system. We have a great team in that we are able to lean on each other for support. So that's huge, is feeling like you're not alone in things. I think we also... Ruth encourages and helps with making sure that staff that we're utilizing the medicines that we have access to traditional services, events, and it's great. I think that's a huge component. Trying to do things that are not that are for family oriented. I go home, I have twin 17-year-old boys, and so I spend a lot of time with them and my husband because it helps kind of balance out. So
right. Yeah, that's I always am concerned about that because we have a lot of people that come on the show that are in the community and doing work for the community, and I always want to bring that up. That isn't Cheyenne, is it, by any chance?
Hi.
Technical difficulties over there.
Diane's in two places. Ho! Do you want to introduce Cheyenne, Ruth Anna?
Yes. Cheyenne first started out in the drop-in center as a support worker, and she came to MIWRC with a wealth of information and knowledge. And so we're so happy and thankful to have her on board. Like all of our staff, they have, you know, of course, their expertise and skill set, but they also have like really beautiful talents and, you know, hobbies and things that that keep them whole and keep them, you know, a stellar teammate. And so Cheyenne has a beautiful voice, and she gives back to the community by offering in partnership with other beautiful singers in the community, you know, just sharing their gifts and sharing healing, you know, and helping everybody feel welcome, and just a beautiful gift to have, you know, her on board and her voice. I was going to tease her and say, there's our little songbird. Just kidding. But yeah,
that's awesome. Well, we only have Ruth Anna, we only have a minute left in the segment. So next segment, maybe we can have Cheyenne sing us a little song. What do you think? What do you think of that? Wow, this is amazing. And I got my Hinu on, and she's knows a lot about addiction too. And it's hard for us. There's so many of our relatives that are stuck in this, and I feel like you know, drug addiction is in all those things are a spiritual disease, and we are spiritual beings, and especially us natives, and I don't want to just take that from other people out there, but I believe we're so spiritual, and that's what's damaged the most. I want to take a quick break and come back. I'm here with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, led by Ruth Anna Buffalo. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and traditions.
Hey, we have the gang from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we have Ruth Anna Buffalo here, the CEO. And Ruth, take it away there. Maybe we can hear a little singing from your coworker. Ho-wa.
Sure. Yeah, I'll turn it over to Cheyenne.
All right.
Hello, Buju. My name is Cheyenne Hinsley. I'm St. Croix Ojibwe, and I'm Ho-Chunk, originally from Wisconsin. And yes, I do help co-facilitate women's singing group, backup learning circle in partnership with CLAN, Wednesdays during the drum and dance, along with Tiana Spotted Thunder and Crystal Norcross. So I'm going to share a song that we just recently learned, and we sang both at drum and dance and cedar ceremony last week. And my brother, Buster Dunkley, taught me the words of this, and it's called the Spirit Bear Song. And he described the song to me that it's talking about calling that spirit bear in, and that it'll bring healing to us, to the Anishinaabe, like on earth here. So bear with me for a minute, as I'm super shy, surprisingly. So... Wee oh hey, hey oh hey, hey oh hey, 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 oh. Mani du ma kwambe o ma ya I ho he o he ya he ya. We du ka wa shi ya ne shna be ya ki ya I ho he o he he yo. Mani du ma kwambe o ma ya I ho he o he ya he ya. We do kawashi a neshna pe a ki a I ho he o he 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 o. Hey, excuse me for my shakiness. I'm usually singing behind a bunch of men, and I'm not that scared.
Oh, well, that was beautiful, and I really, really appreciate that. And I know our audience does too, seriously. A tear in my eye, and especially when you said you were part Ho-Chunk. Ho-wah.
Yeah, my dad is Ho-Chunk from Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. So,
yeah, so Jaleesa and I, ho-wah.
Cousins, eh. Hey,
that's right. Hey, Eco Clan, we fly over the other clans. Ho-wah.
Thunder Clan over here.
Oh, 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 well, you fly over us.
A little bit. Amy over.
Oh, oh. Well, Ruth, before I forget, too, I'd really love if you would be able to just let people out there know how they can support and learn more, because you know me, I have a good memory, but it's short, and I want to make sure that we get that out there before the segment ends.
Sure, yeah, our website, miwrc.org /donate, if you're able to help support the good work here at MIWRC. We recently celebrated our 40th anniversary last September. And we want, the goal is to keep the doors open, you know, 40 years plus and beyond, 40 more years and beyond. So we have a great team, do good work. And yes, please, miwrc.org/donate to donate.
Perfect. Hey, Angela, what made you want to work for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? How did that all come about? What was your journey?
Wanting to work in community and to, I know that we all know how high the rates of sexual assault and gender-based violence are in community. And I think it's really important to be able to help each other and support and lift up women who have experienced and our Two-Spirit relatives too that have experienced violence. And that was the main drive, and to be able to help my people too. You know, it's really important. So that's what got me started at MIWRC.
That's amazing. And we need doers out there. And I appreciate it. The work needs to be done, and people need to step up. And I really appreciate that. Cheyenne, how did you hear about Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
I worked down the street. I was actually at another community organization, and thought, well, why not? I'm a Native woman. Let's try it out. I heard a lot of beautiful things about MIWRC and all the good work that they were doing. So I took my shot, and I'm here. And again, started out in the drop-in center with supportive services through that way, and then eventually made my way to Nujumo, and I now work as a victim services advocate alongside Angela and help our women who are in need of those types of services, help stabilize them.
Wow, Ruth, Anna, you must be really proud to work with a group of strong women like this. And I know, how many employees are at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
We have 22 employees. And yeah, we're, you know, I would say a pretty skeleton crew based off of the need that is out there, you know. So we're thankful for WEX workers and NACOA workers, you know, to help support the good work here at MIWRC. We also have 4 interns from Metro State that are with us now until December, and then we'll get another group in January. So we're super thankful for the support, but I would definitely say our staff are stretched thin, so we're super thankful for the community support, the volunteers, and, you know, just everybody coming together to help each other live. You know, I think that's one thing that's really detrimental is the shortened lifespan, which could be prevented, you know, premature deaths and things. And so we want to help everybody live a long, healthy, good life, you know, like the next person.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I just it's amazing. It's been around 40 years. I wonder, Hinu, do you have any questions? Because this is right up your alley, too. You're involved in the service to our community in through a lot of different ways, but I don't want to blow your anonymity, but you know.
Yeah, well, first of all, forgive me for any of the background noise. I'm with my niece and nephew in the back, so thanks for allowing me to have my niece on for a little bit this evening. you know, I was just going to say, this isn't a question, but we have a viewer that's been thanking you, Cheyenne, for your beautiful song. And she's Shantina Freeman says, bless you all at MIWRC. So I just wanted you to know that you have a viewer that keeps commenting on Facebook here, and I wanted to give them there.
It's really Shantina.
Yeah, so it's really fun to see all the viewers on Facebook, and I just wanted to give them a shout out and everybody that comments especially. And thank you all, Pina Gigi, for your work. I work in the field, and I was able to work specifically, start a Native program at my work for people that are suffering from the disease of addiction. So Pina Gigi to you all.
Yes, it's an awesome thing, and I really believe that we can really, as a group, Ruth, Anna, of people, can help our community, and that's all we can do is help, and that's what we're put on this earth for, is to help our community and not hurt them.
Agree 100%, and you know, things evolve over time, and something that may have worked years ago is not working today, and so we have to adjust with the times, you know. So it's ever you know, constant with change, you know. So but flowing like water for sure.
Absolutely, that is beautiful. We only got like a minute left. Is there anything Elsa that you people from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center would like to let our audience know?
I'll turn it over to Angela and Cheyenne.
I guess just inviting any survivors of sexual assault, domestic violence, or human trafficking. If you guys are interested, we have a Native Survivors Empowerment Group every other Friday here at MIWRC that I help facilitate from 1:30 to 3:30, where we do like traditional craft. We like to sit around and just being together is empowerment. And I do actually teach our ladies in our group now some singing as well. I've kind of carried that over from our other group, and our women are learning the Lakota women's song from Sissy Goodhouse. So anybody is interested in that, you guys are more than welcome to come to our group and get in contact with me and let me know. We'll be happy to have you.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News brief. Protests against ICE detention stretch from Los Angeles to Chicago and New York. 67 people have been arrested for walking onto an L.A. freeway. This as California asks a federal judge to block President Trump's deployment of the National Guard and Marines. CBS's Jake Rosen.
The Justice Department attorneys call the California suit over National Guard deployment legally meritless and argue it, quote, seeks an extraordinarily unprecedented and dangerous court order.
Democratic Congresswoman LaMonica McIver is indicted on federal charges from last month's skirmish at a New Jersey immigration center. Our Matt Piper.
On social media, she writes that she will plead not guilty and says the facts will show she was simply doing her job.
President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth visit Fort Bragg ahead of Saturday's anniversary celebration. Hegseth telling the crowd,
"We're also rebuilding our military. We'll have the first $1 trillion budget. You will have the best equipment in your hands to stare down the enemy."
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Brewers try to rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight at AmFam Field, where the Brewers host the Braves in Game 2 of their series. Quinn Priester on the mound for Milwaukee against the Braves' right-hander Grant Holmes. The Brewers losing last night 7-1. The team making some roster moves today, sending reliever Grant Anderson down to Nashville and recalling right-hand pitcher Easton McGee. NFL Packers minicamp underway. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst, why couldn't they hang on to defensive back Jaire Alexander when they still have $46 million left under the salary cap?
I think, you know, over the last 4 years, you know, there's been a lot of games missed. And I just think for what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get out on the field. Like, it's not his fault, just something that kind of transpired. We're looking for something different.
Today, the Packers moved Bo Melton from wide receiver to defensive back.
Again, his play on special teams, it's just you don't have too many wideouts in this league that are as effective as he is on teams.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and milder tonight with a low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, increasing clouds, chance of showers in the afternoon and evening. High upper 70s to 80. Shower chances continue on Thursday. With more clouds, cooler highs, mid-70s. Currently at 75 degrees.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen join us for a Wednesday roundtable, along with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for his new take on Governor Evers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACI, in Minneapolis. Sorry if it's a little loud in here. I'm with my family over here. You know that, Coca.
Hey, we have our friend from Trickster Tacos on, and can you hear us okay?
I can, yep.
Yeah, right. Please introduce yourself, and we got a big event coming up, and I'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely. So I'm Mariah Grant. I'm the co-owner of Trickster Tacos. We opened up in the Twin Cities in 2020 now, so 5 years. And this year, instead of having an anniversary party, we really wanted to do something bigger for the community. So we are actually hosting the first Native American Food Truck Festival. And the reason why we chose to do that is because since we've been open for 5 years, we've seen the like exponential amount of growth in the food truck businesses, caterers, and food entrepreneurs in the Twin Cities alone. And with just that network, I was like, why not just have it be all Native owned? So that was kind of what started it.
That's awesome. Talk about, I know you have a very cool menu, and I know I can come up there and get a little vegan option and whatever you guys have. Talk a little about your menu.
Yeah, so when we first opened, we opened during the pandemic, and we were used to having beef Indian tacos everywhere we went. And then when we were thinking about food truck ideas, we went through a few different menus, actually, until we like landed on this one, and now this has been our menu for 3 years. So our top three sellers is going to be our beef Indian taco, the traditional. It's going to be your key lime chicken and your soy chorizo, which are both topped with fresh mango salsa, something a little bit different. And the inspiration actually came from like the Hispanic community and their El Pastor tacos with the pineapple. Mm. So the sweet and the spicy together was the idea. And then the vegan one kind of blew up. The key lime chicken blew up first because Yazzie, the chef, shouted it out at the Minnetonkan powwow. And when he did that, all of a sudden we got like at least 1,000 new followers on social medias, and people were just standing in line, and that was all they were ordering. And Dakota couldn't believe it. He's like, nobody's going to order a chicken Indian taco. So that was that, how that one got really popular. And then the soy chorizo actually has gotten popular over the years. It's probably about 25% of our business now, which is pretty huge when it comes to the meat portions and things. But that one got popular because a lot of options for a vegan is just beans for Indian tacos. And some people didn't want beans, which our Indian taco is actually soybeans. But they are made like, so they're like a chorizo, like a Mexican chorizo sausage, but they're vegan. And I actually was using it. My sister's fully vegan. She's a doctor. And she's like, you got to stop eating meat. And we're like, we can't fully stop eating meat. We like meat. But we'll try, right? So we actually started using it for like chorizo and eggs. I make chorizo and cream cheese wontons, egg rolls, all kinds of things with it. Then sneak vegan options into the house a few times a week.
Hey, do you guys cater, right?
We do, yep.
Talk about that and how people can get a hold of you. Because I know every time I see Trickster Tacos, there's a long line. And everybody loves you guys.
So with the catering, that happened kind of over the winter of 2023 because food trucks don't operate well in the winter. The pipes freeze, the propane freezes. It's really hard to get anything to stay warm because, you know, you're working with all stainless steel inside the food truck. So everything's frozen. So as soon as you put the taco on the stainless steel, it's frozen. So we had to pivot and kind of decide to do something else because my husband, Dakota, he left his full-time job with construction to do this. And then I'm still in insurance, but I'm prioritizing Trickster, right? So I don't really look for clients or anything. So this was our primary income. So we did it for that reason. And with the catering, we just slowly started adding more and more menu items that our community was requesting. So we started with just all Indian tacos. Then everyone's like, well, we want a healthier option. We want to make sure our client, our customers and our community members have something better for them. So then we added taco salads. Then we did wild rice bowls. And then we did soups because it's winter time. And so that blew up really fast. That's probably about half of our income now is catering. We're actually looking for a commercial kitchen, hopefully one day. We would like to expand that aspect largely because we offer affordable options and we give varieties. So what we call it is we call it the powwow variety pack. You'll see us a lot of the times at powwow feast. So like south of the river, powwow is a big one. It's an educational powwow in the South Metro. And for that one and a lot of the powwows, the Indian education powwows we offer, you get, you know, however many Indian tacos, you get wild rice bowls and taco salads. And then in the spring months and the fall months, you can even add a soup on. And what that does is it helps give people a variety to fit all dietary needs, make sure we have vegan, make sure we have gluten-free, make sure we have things that'll fit like celiacs and the different things that people are more aware of nowadays.
Mm-hmm. So how do people get a hold of you? Is it through your Facebook? Do you have a website? Talk about that, because I know people are really interested in supporting Native businesses. And I also got to give you a shout out too, that you, your Trickster Tacos was at the pre-state fair this year, right?
Yeah. So we have applied for the State Fair of Minnesota. And in order to get into that, they bring you into the kickoff to summer. And you kind of go through a trial period to show that you can keep up with the volume and everything. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping to get into that one day. But even the kickoff to summer for us as a small family-owned business, that's our second largest, biggest event of the year.
Wow.
So it was huge for us to get in there. Yep.
That's beautiful. And again, how do people get a hold of you?
So people can get a hold of us. We don't have a website yet. We do have Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can follow us on all three social medias. We post our schedule weekly. We also do a monthly calendar one. And then we try to post daily as we can. I did have a new baby this last year, so haven't been super great on social media, but I'm trying to pick it back up.
Right on. So what's your baby's name?
His name is Aikato.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Yeah. So it's a Lakota name. We wanted something that started with an I, was five letters, and was Lakota this time. Our daughter is Imala, and her name is Omaha, I believe.
Oh, cool. And any of them have Robert for a middle name?
No, but they do have, so my biggest son, Isaac, is Isaac John, after Dakota's grandfather, and that's actually the namesake of the recipe for the fry bread that we use. His name is John Crow.
Wow. Very cool. That's so cool. Hey, we only got a couple more minutes. Bring up the event again, and I'm going to have
you
on.
Yeah, so our food truck festival is July 5th. We have 21 food trucks coming so far. We might see one or two drop back, you know, depending on things that happen. So we're expecting about anywhere between 17 to 18 Native-owned food trucks. Some of them are co-owned. Some of them are highlighting both like Afro-Indigenous trucks. We have some Caucasian and Native trucks there and some Hispanic Native trucks there. So we're welcoming all Indigenous peoples. Our food truck lineup is full now. Some of the ones I want to highlight, we do have Melissa's Tacos is coming from Rapid City. We got Mercy's Tacos is also coming. No, Melissa's Fry Bread is from Rapid City. I'm super excited for her. She got the Indian Collective grant, and that's how she was able to start her business. And so she's a really good inspiration for people to understand what the Indian Collective grant does for you. Then Mercy's Tacos is Hispanic Indigenous, and she's coming too. She does like birria tacos. And then we have a bunch of Metro-owned Indigenous trucks as well, like Trickster Tacos, Stephen D's, Wacky Wing Wagon, Fry Bread Factory. And then we have Indigenous Foods Lab is going to be there with their vending booths. We have 25 to 30 vendors signed up for artist vendors and just vendor booths as well. We got Nosh K Games going to be there doing Native game demos.
Yeah.
And then we have resource vendors. I think we have like 6 or 7 resource tables coming. So we have the Ninjani's basketball group coming. We have the American Indian Montessori group coming. And they're going to do the Tiny Tots session. So that should be super cute.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So and then it's at Harriet Island Regional Park in St. Paul from 11 to 7 p.m. If you want to get your favorite food items, I do suggest getting there early because they will sell out. A lot of them, and the good ones are going to sell out, especially like the ones that travel.
Yeah. Is there any more booth openings for somebody like Native Roots Trading Post?
Absolutely. You guys would be a resource vendor, and you could have your trading post there too. But yeah, we would love to have you guys.
Wow. We'll have to have a family meeting after the show there, Jaleesa.
Yeah.
Immediately. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so it should be a good weekend. We're encouraging everybody, since it's a foodie event, wear your stretchy pants, grab your picnic blanket, and bring the family. You know, it's easier to share all the food like at the state fair than it is to try to eat one of everything.
Yeah, good call. You got to have a little. That's a really good call. You got to have a little plate with a little bit of everything and sell those too. Yep. That'd be really good. Well, again, thanks for coming on. I really, really appreciate you. Well, we're going to do this again before the event. I just I just remembered and saw your email and went, heck, let's get you guys on today. And I know you're traveling.
I saw it as we were driving back from, we were at Treasure Island doing their health for their home run to health today.
Oh, good.
For their employees and their tribal members and things. Yeah, so that was real fun.
Oh, awesome, Ren.
Wow. Well,
awesome.
Again,
thank you guys. You guys have a good evening.
You too.
Yes. Thank you so, so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I've known you for years, and I'm so proud of you and your family.
Thank you. You know, we've heard that a lot in the community. I guess I forgot how young we were when we first moved here and how young the kids were when we first moved here. And we kind of grew up with the community. So it's really good to hear that.
Right on. Well, good to see you. And we'll talk to you really soon. Thanks again for coming
on. Thanks, Robert. Bye.
We'll see you. Wow, awesome. Just things happening in the community, Jaleesa, and just really excited about, you know, being able to be in this seat here promoting the great work of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, you know, Trickster Tacos. We're just a good conduit of good vibes here.
Absolutely. That was awesome, Judge. I mean, yeah. What the women are doing and their hard work. And I love how you asked, how do they take care of themselves? How are we taking care of each other and also ourselves? And then just like great, you know, small business owners, indigenous owned businesses. And I'm like so excited about that food truck event. It's just like, what can bring our community together and what can bring other people in to see what we do, right?
Right on. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and, Jaleesa and I are going to chew the fat, vegan fat.
We'll be right back.
This is Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesota needs diverse teachers who represent our students and communities. Explore teaching degree options at Metro State University's Urban Education Info Session in person at the Minneapolis campus on June 24th. Metro State's programs offer pathways to bachelor's degrees designed for those committed to serving urban communities. Visit campus, get an overview of teaching programs, and meet with an advisor. Sign up at metrostate.edu/urban-teacher-program. Become a teacher. Shape the future. Metro State University.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, in this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No. Well, what a fun show, really happy to have Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center with us weekly, and to bring some people on. I think that's a great idea to talk about, and you could see the excitement that they have and for working for this organization, Jaleesa.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you have those consistent people that, I mean, there's a reason why you can keep them on consistently, because they always have more things to share. And, you know, our community, I like what Ruth Ann said about, you know, it's always flowing. Everything's always ebbing and flowing and changing, and to keep up with that for our people, right?
Yeah, definitely. So it really, people in the community, boots on the ground, it really helps to hear this information. It really helps to hear, like, business like Trickster Tacos too, that are doing well, because there's always so much doom and gloom. And we talk about doom and gloom here, you know, with what's going on nationally. And so it's always a great, you know, breath of fresh air to hear good things that's still happening in our community here.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Like I said earlier, I love the question that you asked, how do you take care of yourself? Well, they mentioned coworkers, and that just reminds me of community and going to different events, like we said. And, you know, I'm constantly wanting to, part of, like, you know, my work and my job is to let my Native clients know what events are happening in the community, because there's only so much we can do in our closed group, right? So then it's like, what can we do? Oh, well, everybody, hey, there's a food truck, you know, event this summer, like, you know, or these different organizations and different meetings that they have at the American Indian Center and at, you know, at the St. Paul Family Indian Center and all these things. So it's just like kind of fun to share, you know, what's going on in the community so that they can be in community, take care of themselves, and have some fun, you know, outside of the closed groups that we have.
Yeah. And, you know, I've really, the last few years really, have gotten involved with Franklin Avenue in the Minneapolis corridor of Native Americans. We have Native American Community Clinic there that's putting, I just drove by, and their whole parking lot's being dug up because of that big, big expansion that they're having there. And the community deserves that. And, you know, with your work, it's really important to support community, you know, and mm-hmm. help people and look like the people that we're helping.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's empowering to see the growth. You know, there's been just so many horrible things happening in our communities and, you know, as we know with our local government and our national government, but, you know, we keep resisting and we keep growing. So yeah, I'm very excited about the American Indian Center and all that's going on Franklin Ave.
Yeah, definitely. We got Native American Community Development Institute, and they have the Four Sisters Market now every Thursday. They also have...
Remind me the time of that Four Sisters Market, Jaji. I'm sure the viewers know too,
Thanks. It's 11 to 3 every Thursday, and it's one of those places to be seen, to be, you know, got to stop by and make an appearance and their trucks open, their food trucks open, and Powwow Grounds food truck, and also you can stop in and see the art that's there, and then also the coffee shop, and then they have all the vendors there on Thursday too. So went last week; it was perfect weather, and just great to be in community again with the nice weather. And you know, I got to give the Native American Community Development Institute a big shout out and all they do for the community, Franklin Avenue, and all the community out there.
Absolutely. So 11 to 3, you said. So I'll have to scoot out of a meeting early one day and go over there.
Hey, bring your clients.
I wonder, even the to just scoot on there as everybody's closing up, just to say hi to everybody and see all familiar faces, because there's a lot of good people.
Yeah. Yeah, or even I like to get there early and leave early too, and just to see what's happening. And there's a lot of there's a lot of good booths there. I know we've tabled there last year, a Native Roots Trading Post. Really excited about this upcoming season. We'll be at the State Fair. I always like to bring that up. And then Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, which I believe is going to be our fifth year.
Isn't that crazy? I was actually thinking about that. Is this our fourth State Fair?
Yeah. Well, we're doing this. I think it's our fifth. We're doing is the same amount as we did at Dayton's. Yeah.
Wow. Jelena, Micah, do you guys know? Is this our fifth?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth.
I'll have to look.
Yeah, because we did one more year of the of Dayton's.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Because
I thought it was the same. Well, we can talk about that again. But yeah, thought it was the same year. I thought it was the same year, and it was just a big surprise that the fair called us kind of the last minute and said, we got a place for you. And it was like a game changer. Yes, we definitely are interested. And so the rest is history. We're really grateful to be there because we know it takes a, like you hear from Trickster Tacos, they're going through like a big vetting system by getting in the fair. And I hope they get in the fair because they definitely need to represent the Native community. I know we go out there and there's so much appropriation at the State Fair, you know, Native designs or Native inspired designs is basically stolen. And we talk about this a lot here in Native Roots Radio too, is that, you know, if you ever wonder about anything, you always ask who made this or who designed this. And if they can't tell you, it's somebody in China that did it or some, you know, so always ask.
I had this encounter with somebody who had some beautiful beaded jewelry on, and I just asked the question, who made it? And then it's a really great point too, because I think people get really shy about maybe purchasing and supporting Native businesses, and that be especially like jewelry or clothing. And, you know, that's not appropriation because that's supporting, but you know, hey, I got this from a Native made, Native owned booth at the State Fair or at a powwow or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm here supporting them. And they shared with me about their tribe and about their people. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are supporting the artist. So if it's out there for sale, it's for sale for everybody. But again, just to back up, if you run into those situations like you did, just to ask who made this, you know, and exactly. I always try to buy as much Ho-Chunk stuff. So that's, it's not an inappropriate question. So just a little heads up for our listeners too that might not know and that want to support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of my favorite parts about doing the fair. You know, we all work so hard to prepare for that. And then it's 10 days of working long days, but I mean, we enjoy it so much. And a lot of that has been just the conversations either with Native people coming to visit us, coming to see us, making sure, you know, we're authentic or just coming back to visit us, or it's, you know, fellow community members that we know, that know you, that know Native Roots Radio. And then there's the other people that are curious, right? Or want to know how to support, or want to know about things that they were not taught in school. And so that is just really cool. It's a piece of sharing information for people that want to learn, and then being in community with other Native people.
Yeah, definitely. Being in community is where it's at. And I'm proud of you and your sister and your brother-in-law. And I'll be proud of my grandbabies, your niece and nephew, very soon, because they'll be taking it over soon. Time flies.
And I really...
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, our weekly visits with civic media friends Earl Ingram in Milwaukee, Todd Alba in Madison, Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids, and James Kelly in Chippewa Falls.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal.
Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. In the country's second largest city, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass declares an overnight curfew in the downtown area after several nights of unrest and vandalism during immigration protests. It runs from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Break the curfew and you will be prosecuted.
California Governor Gavin Newsom is scheduled to deliver a major address this hour. CBS's Maurice Dubois in Los Angeles reports.
This is what it's like on the dividing line in downtown L.A. Peaceful protesters here, part of hundreds, a group of hundreds of people in downtown. And right here, we have National Guard troops standing at the ready.
President Trump has defended his move to send in the National Guard and 700 Marines. CBS's Nicole Killian.
They continue to insist that the military is strictly there, mostly in the capacity of trying to secure federal facilities and personnel.
ICE pictures show National Guard troops appearing to protect ICE agents making arrests in L.A. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.